We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 47. This is a lament for Babylon. And I want to read it. It's just 15 verses. I want to read it before we begin to talk about it. But I want you to watch for the common themes about this group of people, this entity. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground without a throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For you shall no longer be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Remove your veil. Strip off the skirt. Uncover the leg. Cross the rivers. Your nakedness will be uncovered. Your shame also will be exposed. I will take vengeance and not spare a man. Our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, is His name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit silently and go into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for you will no longer be called the Queen of Kingdoms. I was angry with my people. I profaned my heritage and gave them into your hand. You did not show mercy to them. On the aged, you made your yoke very heavy. Yet you said, I will be a queen forever. These things you did not consider, nor remember the outcome of them. Now, then, hear this, you sensual one who dwells securely, who says in your heart, I am, and there is no one beside me. I will not sit as a widow, nor know the loss of children. But these two things will come on you suddenly in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They will come on you in full measure, in spite of your many sorceries, in spite of the great power of your spells. You felt secure in your wickedness and said, no one sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge, they have deluded you. For you have said in your heart, I am, and there is no one beside me. But evil will come on you, which you will not know how to charm away. And disaster will fall on you, for which you cannot atone. And destruction, about which you do not know, will come on you suddenly. Stand fast now in your spells and in your many sorceries with which you have labored from your youth. Perhaps you will be able to profit. Perhaps you may cause trembling. You are wearied with your many counsels. Let now the astrologers, those who prophesy by the stars, those who predict by the new moons, let them stand up and save you from what will come upon you. Behold, they have become like stubble. Fire burns them. They cannot deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There will be no coal to warm by nor a fire to sit before. So have those become to you with whom you have labored, who have trafficked with you from your youth. Each has wandered in his own way. There is none to save you. All right. This sounds like what? Trouble's coming for somebody, right? Judgment on Babylon. And I'm sure that we understand this, but and this is a specific prophecy to a nation, city, that existed in Isaiah's day. We know from the historical perspective of what we've looked at in Isaiah that they were not yet the dominant power they would become, because the Assyrians had defeated them, but they would rise to power. They would be the ones in the future that would carry the Israelites from Judah off to Babylonian captivity. You know, the northern kingdom was carried away by the Assyrians. 150 years later, the Babylonians came and got the people from the southern kingdom, carried them into captivity. They were there for 70 years. But this was an evil, wicked people. But God allowed a wicked, evil people to come to power so that he could use them to do his, to carry out his judgment on his own people. Any idea where Babylon got its start? Genesis chapter 11, Babel. All right? Remember the story of Babel? The people were told, God's instruction to mankind was to be fruitful and multiply and do what? Fill the earth, right? Well, they, in their defiance of God's revealed will, decided to come together, take brick, and build themselves a tower that reached up to heaven. Yeah. And if you go read that, it says, let us make a name for ourselves. This was people organizing to form their own, to for the purpose of what?
Trying to rival God.
This is a public manifestation of what most of us are guilty of personally and privately in our own lives. Okay, I really want to rival God. I want to be my own God. But this was they wanted prominence. They wanted to go on forever. They wanted immortality. They wanted power, and that's why God came down, saw what they were doing, and confused them with the languages and dispersed them and dispelled them. But that's where Babylon has its origins. And but it's also prominent and significant spiritually, because Babylon is the name of the system that opposes Christ and will ultimately be overthrown before Christ returns, or at the return of Christ. You can read about it. Let's read real quickly Revelation chapter 18, because John quotes some of what we just read in Isaiah 47 here when he writes in his vision about the fall of Babylon. Chapter 18 says, after these things I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illumined with his glory, and he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, fallen. Fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place of demons, and a prison of every unclean spirit, and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. I heard another voice come from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, so that you will not participate in her sins and receive her of her plagues. For her sins have piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back even as she has paid, and give back to her double according to her deeds. In the cup which she has mixed, mix twice as much for her, to the degree that she glorified herself and lived sensuously, to the same degree give her torment and mourning. For she says in her heart, this is a quote from Isaiah 47. I sit as queen. I am not a widow and will never see mourning. For this reason, in one day, her plagues will come. Pestilence and mourning and famine, she will be burned up with fire. For the Lord God who judges her is strong. For the kings of the earth who committed acts of immorality and lived sensuously with her will weep and lament over her, when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance because of the fear of her torment, saying, "Woe, woe, the great city Babylon, the strong city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore, cargoes of gold and silver and precious stones, pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and every kind of citron wood and every article of ivory and every article made from very costly wood and bronze and iron and marble and cinnamon and spice and incense and perfume and frankincense and wine, olive oil and fine flour and wheat and cattle and sheep and cargoes of horses and chariots of slaves and human lives. The fruit you long for has gone from you, and all things that were luxurious and splendid have passed away from you, and men will no longer find them. The merchants of these things who became rich from her will stand at a distance because of the fear of her torment, weeping and mourning, saying, "Woe, woe, the great city, she who was clothed in fine linen and purple scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour such great wealth has been laid waste. And every shipmaster and every passenger and sailor, as many as make their living by the sea, stood at a distance and were crying out as they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, 'What city is like the great city?' And they threw dust on their heads and were crying out, weeping and mourning, saying, 'Woe, woe, the great city in which all who had ships at sea became rich by her wealth. In 1 hour she has been laid waste. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, because God has pronounced judgment for you against her.' Then a strong angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, 'So will Babylon the great city be thrown down with violence and will not be found any longer, and the sound of harpists and musicians and flute players and trumpeters will not be heard in you any longer, and no craftsman of any craft will be found in you any longer, and the sound of a mill will not be heard in you any longer, and the light of the lamp will not shine in you any longer, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride will not be heard in you any longer, for your merchants were the great men of the earth, because all the nations were deceived by your sorcery, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints, and of all who had been slain on the earth.'" This pictures the overthrow, the destruction of Babylon in the end, when all rebellion against God has been squelched and made to come to an end, and the Lord establishes His righteous reign forever among His people. So what we have in chapter 47 is this prophecy concerning Babylon that has immediate or short-term fulfilled in the short term and ultimately fulfilled in the long term. And this is how Babylon is described. Here's the invitation. Here's what Isaiah is saying of them here in chapter 47. "Come and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon." Virgin in the respect, the whole people were immoral, but they were what was new to them was this idea of being defeated and being subjugated to the rule of someone else. This city had not experienced that. "Sit on the ground without a throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans." This daughter of the Chaldeans is another reference to the Babylonians. "For you shall no longer be called tender and delicate." The people of Babylon saw themselves as the word I'm looking for, indestructible. They could not be overthrown. They would not be overthrown. They saw themselves as invincible, I guess is the word that I'm looking for. They saw themselves as superior to all the other people. When I was studying this, I couldn't help but think about the Nazis in Germany and what their attitude of supremacy over and above everybody else. I will also tell you that as I study through this chapter, I couldn't help but think about this country and just the direction that we're going, the attitude that we have as a nation, the immorality that characterizes us, and the fact that God always brings that into judgment. That may be the overarching message here. The one who sat as a queen in Babylon, the rulers, here's what's going to happen. Here's what they're going to end up doing. Verse 2, take a millstone and grind meal. Can you imagine a queen or a member of the royal family taking a millstone and grinding meal? Who would do that? The slaves would do that. Royalty would not do that. Remove your veil. In other words, you're going to suffer some indignity. Strip off the skirt. Uncover the leg. Cross the rivers. One commentator suggested that this was symbolic language for the royalty, the actually being sexually assaulted. But I think probably it just means that they're going to face terrible indignity. Those that are proud, those that are haughty, those that think they're better than everybody else, those that see themselves as invincible and unable to be dethroned are going to be put to utter shame. And that's what happened to the Babylonians. Your nakedness, verse 3, will be uncovered. Your shame also will be exposed. The mess, the warning, I will take vengeance and will not spare a man. And who's doing this? Our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is His name, the Holy One of Israel. This is in verse 5, instruction to Babylon. Sit silently and go into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for you will no longer be called the queen of the kingdoms. Well, why not? I was angry with my people. I profaned my heritage. When and how did that happen? Well, that happened as God rose up. God gave rise to the Assyrians to come get the northern kingdom. He gave rise to the Babylonians to come get the people of the southern kingdom. He profaned his own heritage because God's promise to the people of Israel was that they would dwell, if they just do what he said, they'd dwell in land forever. But in his anger with his people for their obstinate rebellion, he raised up the Babylonians who would come, that hasn't happened yet, this is all future, who would come and profane his heritage. God gave them into your hand. God gave the Israelites into the hands of the Babylonians, and you did not show mercy to them. On the aged, you made your yoke very heavy. So they did not show the people of God compassion. Yet you said, verse 7, I will be a queen forever. In other words, there's no threat. There's no chance that I will be overthrown. We are an invincible nation. But these things you did not consider, nor remember the outcome of them. In other words, God has made enough of Himself known to all the nations that they ought to know how to honor Him. And the Babylonians, the problem with the Babylonians was the problem with all who rebel against God. They think that they're above the standards of God. They're above the law of God. They think they can live in total disregard for morality. They think they can live in total disregard of fairness and justice and equity and you know, any sense of what's right and wrong. That's where the Babylonians were. That's kind of where we're headed, isn't it? That's where we've gotten as a people. They didn't consider. They didn't remember the outcome of those that always ignore God. So verse 8, now then, hear this, you sensual one who dwells securely, who says in your heart, I am, and there's no one besides me. That's an attitude of absolute supremacy. I am, and there's no one besides me. Here's the confidence they have. I will not sit as a widow. How do you become a widow? Well, your husband is killed or passes away. And nor will I know the loss of children. Verse 9, but these two things will come on you suddenly in one day. The loss of children and widowhood. Well, how's that going to happen in one day? Somebody's going to come along and kill all the men, kill all the children. How well does that usually work out for the widows that are left behind? It's not good. It's not good. They will come on you in full measure, the middle part of verse 9 says. And they're coming in spite of your many what? Sorceries. In spite of the great power of your spells. What's the source of sorceries and magic and spells and incantations and all that nonsense? Satan. It's all satanically inspired. You felt secure, verse 10, in your wickedness. You said, no one sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge, they have deluded you. For you have said in your heart, I am, and there is no one besides me. Could we say that that may be the attitude of a great many of us who live in America? As a nation, we are. How long have we been told we're the greatest nation on the planet? And we are. Unequaled in prosperity, unequaled in power. But how many of us who live in this powerful and prosperous nation still acknowledge that the source of that blessing is the God of heaven? Not many. Yes, sir? And because, I mean, I just see a warning in here. Yeah, there's a prophetic fulfillment for Babylon near term, as we read in Revelation 18, Babylon long term. But there is a principle, I think, a principle of warning here too. Verse 11, but evil will come on you, which you will not know how to charm away. And disaster will fall on you for which you cannot atone, and destruction about which you do not know will come on you suddenly. We read how suddenly it's going to happen in Revelation 18, didn't we? How long did it take according to Revelation 18? About an hour. a great city. Utterly destroyed in about an hour. Wonder how long it took Sodom and Gomorrah to be destroyed. Probably about like that. Probably about like that. Fire and brimstone starts falling and it probably was consumed in an hour or less. Verse 12, stand fast now in your spells and in your many sorceries, with which you have labored from your youth. Perhaps you will be able to profit. Perhaps you may cause trembling. How much good, I mean, the satanically inspired spells and sorceries, how good are they? How much good will they do in withstanding the power of the one true God? You are wearied, verse 13, with your many counsels. Let the astrologers, those who prophesy by the stars, those who predict by the new moons, let them stand up and save you from what will come upon you. Is that going to work? The problem here, this judgment that's falling on our nation with so many problems, it's because the stars are lined up the way they are. You know, there's an astrological explanation for it. Let's don't acknowledge God. By the way, there is some kind of unique alignment in all the planets right now. I've seen something about it in the news. Not that it means anything. Let those who prophesy by the stars, who predict by the new moons, let them stand up and save you from what will come upon you. Behold, they have become like stubble. Fire burns them. They cannot deliver themselves from the power of the flame. And there will be no coal to warm by, nor a fire to sit before. Those who have claimed to have these powers to perform special things won't do them any good to even save themselves, let alone this people. So have those become to you with whom you have labored, who have trafficked with you from your youth. Each has wandered in his own way, and there is none to save you. In other words, also here, we read through this, here and in Revelation 18, in the ultimate fulfillment of the prophecies concerning the destruction of Babylon, you know, all the nations of the world, this Babylon, all the nations that traded with them benefited from that trade. It's how the sea merchants got wealthy. That's where wealth was experienced, is through dealing with Babylon. But those who have labored with you, those who trafficked with you from your youth, each has wandered in his own way. There's none to save you. In other words, when the way of the world is to use you for the benefit, as long as there's benefit in doing business with you. But when you're done, when it looks like you're going down, are they going to come to your aid? That's the point here. Do they come to your aid? No. I think as a nation, we will see and do see the same thing. We've helped the nations of the world, but when we're going down, they'll all turn and wander to their own way. They'll lament the fall and say, man, that's terrible. They'll do nothing to save you because there is none to save. When God executes his judgment and pours out his wrath, there is none to save. Yes.
Well, won't they lament the fall because of how it affects them?
Yes. Yes.
Riches,
yeah, that's exactly the attitude that we read there in Revelation 18 just a few minutes ago, from the merchants and the seamen and all that traded and profited. So, God is gracious. God is gracious in telling the people of Babylon what's coming. He did it plenty of time for them to have heard and repented, but they would not. It's a little shorter chapter, so a little shorter lesson. Are any thoughts or comments or questions regarding the content here? Yes.
I couldn't help but think in verse 8 where